Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. It's all the way at the beginning. Genesis chapter number 4 is what we're going to look at this morning. And I guess it's all about what you're dreaming about, what you think about the future. And, you know, if it's amazing when you think about our children and our church. I think there's nothing wrong with asking the Lord to help us to do something great and whatever the Lord wants, but to dream what the Lord can do through us. Is something that I think if we envision that, and we get, it'll help us to say, hey, I can do more for the Lord because of who he is. Genesis chapter number 4, story of Cain and Abel. And a couple of thoughts there. There's a verse number 5, actually verse number 6. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Years and years ago, I preached a message, why are you so angry? And kind of the same thought there, what's going on in a believer's heart and believer's life? And also, when you consider, why are you downcast? Why has your countenance fallen? Why are you sad? And in this story, you're going to see that God wants things done his way. And Cain wants things done his way. I think one of the great examples that's found in Proverbs 16:25 that explains Cain. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And in the story, you're going to see that God has given the commandment. God has instruction. God says, hey, this is what I expect. This is what I will accept. But Cain comes along the way and says, hey, I want to do things my way. I don't see anything wrong with my way. I think my way is just right. In the book of Jude, it's even mentioned, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? It means, with that verse, I think they're describing the life of those who do not live by faith, but instead walk after what they think is best and what they think their flesh says. And in this story today, I want you to see some important things. Number one, the thing I'm hoping to drive home is, don't let sin stay in your heart, sin stay in your life. It says sin lieth at the door, meaning the idea that if you allow some little sin in your life, that it's just going to grow more and more. It's waiting to pounce on you. Even probably more importantly to someone today that may be unsaved or a Christian, there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. That's through the blood. You're going to see that there's two boys and they offer a sacrifice. One offers the way it's supposed to of a sheep, the shedding of blood. The other offers of the first fruits, which is a type of sacrifice in the law, but it's not the sacrifice they were speaking of, but the one that the Lord had instructed them to give. And God did not have respect, did not accept the sacrifice of the one that was done the wrong way. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. He's God. He's the one that sets the rules. He's the one that hung the stars in the skies. He's the one that created us. And if he says something, he expects something, he wants us to follow through. And Cain is upset. Cain is angry with the fact that God would not accept his way. The Bible speaks a lot about being angry. He says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Over and over in the scripture, it talks about having an angry spirit. I think that's something you walk around, you see today, you see people either are downcast and they look sad or they're angry. You go and you look at some of the modern day different artists or musicians, and especially from certain different ones, they look angry. You look around at the world today, and there's a lot of people that are angry. And why are they angry? Why is Cain angry? Why is Cain upset now? It's because of the fact that God would not accept his way. Here's the idea. Hey, God, this is what I'm going to do. You need to be okay with it. They're worshiping man more than they are the creator. Or as it talks about in Romans, worshiping the creature more than the creator. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 4, whether you want to say the title of the message is why are you so angry, or why has your countenance fallen? It's the question I have for believers today is why has our countenance fallen when it's our own sin that is bringing these troubles? Look what it says in Genesis chapter 4, and it says, and Adam knew his wife, And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And he said, well, what does that mean? Well, they recorded the first birth. Chapter number 3, they've fallen in the garden. God has promised them a redeemer. Eve thinks that this is the redeemer. I've gotten a man from the Lord. Boy, was she wrong. Then you see verse number 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. So in the story here, some commentators believe that they were twins, because it doesn't say that Adam knew Eve, his wife, again. And some people believe that it's twins, and it's a beautiful picture of, you know, the flesh versus the spiritual things, doing things God's way versus doing things man's way. We're not 100% sure if they were twins or not, but it does not say that it's not, and kind of gives the idea there, and it's an interesting thought, something to ponder. It says, and she again bare, verse number 2, Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Both men were people that had wise vocations, important things that were going to accomplish a lot of things. It says, and in the process of time, what does that mean, the process of time, it came to pass? It could mean at the end of the year, it could mean at the end of the week, of the Sabbath. I think it comes to the point where they have become to the point where they're supposed to sacrifice for themselves, bringing their sacrifices probably to Adam as the priest of the family, the head of the family. They would bring their sacrifice. And it says that Cain, in verse number 3, brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought to the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't seem fair. Nowhere is there instruction that's given on how it's supposed to be done and what is supposed to be done. Well, God was the one that shed blood to cover up Adam and Eve in chapter number 3. But more telling, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he attained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Great verse. But it does tell us something. It does tell us, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. So how do you do something by faith? Where do you get faith from? For faith cometh by hearing. So at some point in time, God, or through Adam, had told Cain and Abel what they were supposed to sacrifice. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Abel did things God's way. Cain didn't. Let's keep on going. And the Lord said unto Cain, verse 5, excuse me, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. I think this is the challenge that we live in today, that many of us live a life and say, God, you need to respect us. Sort of like your 5-year-old expecting, hey, even strong, 4 or 5-year-olds, I'm a man, you need to listen to me. They might not say that till they're 12 or 13, but sometimes kids say that. Hopefully it's a guy that says that. You know, you need to listen to me, my rights. And that's what Cain gets angry or upset, because God doesn't have respect for what he did. Because why? Because he did not do what God asked him to do. Let's keep on going here. And it says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And look what it says, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Why is he upset? Who is he angry with? Who should he be angry with? He should be angry with himself. He didn't do things God's way. But that's not who he's angry with. He's angry with God. And it says in verse number 6, verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell, calling that his anger caused him to be downcast. And the Lord said unto Cain, I love that. You know, Cain's a bad guy. Cain's going to kill his brother here in a little while. Cain wants to do things his own way. Cain has in his heart. But what does the Lord do? The Lord gets kick him to the curb. He comes to him. He's trying, in his mercy and his kindness, he doesn't just zap him, as some people try to picture God. And picture God the Father, he's some guy up there with a long beard and long hair and just throws a lightning bolt when somebody does wrong. No, he comes to him, he says, and look what he says to him. He says, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen. He's trying to reason with them. And that's what I think God does. He tries to get people to understand, hey, look, you don't get to pick and choose things. And that's why he says in Isaiah, let us reason together. You know, your sins that are scarlet, they shall be white as snow if you come to the Savior. There's a reason to this. We're all sinners and all need of a Savior. We all need to come to God Jesus' way. But no. When God is not willing to listen to what people think and what people want, they get angry and they get mad because they think they know what is right and they think they know what is best. But he's God. He knows what's right. He knows what's best. He knows what's needed. That's the way of Cain. And the Lord came to Cain, verse number 6, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? Now look what he says to him. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. He said, there's a way to get right. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be upset. You don't have to be downcast. You don't have to. You can be accepted. You can be right. You can be right to the Lord. If you have sin in your heart and you have an anger issue or a bitterness issue or your countenance is downcast because things are not going your way, he's saying, look, you can do what's right. You can do well. You will be accepted. There is forgiveness that is there if you choose to do things the right way. He says, verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, he says, look, there's forgiveness, there is acceptance. But if you choose not to do it, and that phrase, I have it underlined in my Bible, sin lieth at the door. Now, there's two different accounts and two different pictures. I mentioned this in my Sunday school class last week as we looked at homosexuality and how they feel like that they should be accepted and they demand their rights, and kind of the same thing that Cain, that in our own life we feel like, hey, God created man, God created woman, God has said these and put these guidelines, and we looked down and saw how that all transgressed, and now people are saying, you have to accept me, God has to accept me, and it's just not true. What is wrong is wrong. What is right is right. God accepts those things that are holy and those things that are pure. And in this, it's the idea that if we leave a little bit of a sin there, sin lieth at the door. Some people picture that as the sin offering that was at the door, which would have been under the law, but they're not under the law right now. So that's why I don't think that's the case. I think more it talks about how sin's lying at the door, that if you have sin, and we're going to develop this in a little while, if you allow a little bit of sin in your life, it's waiting to pounce on you. It's waiting. His anger became a murderer. Our bitterness becomes anger. And how sin that may begin small and we don't think it's going to hurt us and we don't think it's going to do anything bad and it's not wrong. I'm okay with being a little bit angry. I'm okay with being a little bit bitter. God's just going to have to get over it. God is saying, look, sin lieth at the door. It is sitting outside. It's waiting for you not to get right. And as soon as you come at it, it wants to pounce on you, wants to attach to you and say, hey, you can, you know, and it continues to grow and grow and grow. And you'll see what happens here. It says in verse number 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God is even saying to Cain as the eldest that he had the responsibility and someday he was going to be the one in charge of the family. And from what it sounds like in the reading here, at least what I'm seeing and what other commentators think, is that because of this, because he's done wrong, he's worried about losing his position. He's worried about not being able to be restored. He's worried about Abel now being the one that's going to be the accepted one. And God says, no, you can still get right if you do well. Accept it, but if you choose not to get right, choose not to do well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. He's saying, you haven't disqualified yourself. In verse number 8, it says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him, killed him. Why is that? Because he's angry. Do anything with his anger. He was wroth. He was downcast. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he says, I know not, am I my brother's keepers? So he lies. Sometimes we feel like if we can lie to God, we're getting away with it. How foolish is that? But we do it. We convince ourselves and we say, God, this is okay. I don't know what you're talking about, Lord. When the God comes and you hear good preaching and God kind of speaks to your heart about, hey, you need to get this right. oh, don't know what you're talking about. And we just ignore it. And what we're doing is we're leaving something there, and sin's lying at the door, just waiting for us to pounce. And then it keeps on. And verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that this morning that you led us to this text, I believe. It's a purpose and a reason for today's message. And Lord, I pray you help us to see that. Lord, I believe there's people in this room that do not know you as Savior. They believe that good works is enough. They're trying to figure out their way to God. But there is no way, Lord, except for through Jesus Christ, the shedding of blood. Cain tried to do it his own way, and it wasn't accepted, just as if we try to do things our own way, it will not be accepted. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, save their soul today. Help them to turn to you. Help them to repent of their sins. Help them to confess that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord, to a believer in the room today that might be struggling with being downcast, might be struggling with a little bit of anger, that might be struggling with some bitterness because they have allowed sin to stay in their heart and their life, help them to see the danger that you tried to help Cain with. Help them to see that sin is lying at the door, and it's gonna grow, and it's going to get bigger. It's going to take them farther than they ever thought it would. And Lord, also help us to see from Cain's example here that if we don't get our heart right, we're going to not be repentant. Instead, we're going to say the punishment's too hard, punishment's too strong. But Lord, we need to hear from you. Help us to surrender today to your way and to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first thing I want you to think about here, I don't know if there's really going to be an outline per se that you may be able to write down or follow, but there's going to be a lot of thoughts there. The first thing I want you to think about, you're not getting to heaven your own way. You're not getting to heaven your own way. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, if you go back and you think about it, what did the sacrifice represent? What did the shedding of blood represent? It pointed to that there was going to be a future sacrifice someday that Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. The Bible even says, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. If Jesus did not shed his blood, our sins would not have been cleansed or had the opportunity to be cleansed. So because of that, when Cain says, I'm going to go and bring my own sacrifice, I'm going to do those things that are most precious to me, those things that I think are important. Cain is saying that God should just accept my way. And sometimes I think we live in a world of people today that say that. God should live except me. I was talking to somebody. We were out there, had a great youth conference this past week. One of our young people had given a tract to a guy that was helping them park because of where they were located at in Charleston, West Virginia. The guy came to me later on, and he asked me some questions about the tract. I was thankful because I was checking in, doing other things. That young person gave the tract, and he came up, and he had questions. Praise the Lord for that. And he says, do you pray to God the Father, or do you pray to Jesus? You know, what is that there? And didn't know what the Trinity was. And we talked a little bit, talked about how Jesus gave a model prayer, talked about God the Father, talked about how we pray in Jesus' name and different things like that. But I could tell that he wasn't very familiar with spiritual things, but he was impressed with our group. I talked to him when I came in. He was impressed with the young person that was willing to give the track. He saw something that was not, that he did not have, that he was interested in. I'm thankful for that. So we sat there and I talked to him for a few minutes, and he had to go to work. He seemed like he was interested. Gave him my name and the phone number, and hey, let's talk. And I says, even if it's late night, I'll come down and talk to you. He never came back, but I did give him a short presentation of the gospel that you can't, because he's like, I tried to live a good life. I tried to do things the right way. And that's what he was thinking. He says, well, if I try to do good, isn't that enough? And I said, it's not. I says, that makes sense to us, but the God of the Bible explains it a whole completely different way. And I tried to explain to him, understand that we can't do enough goodness to get to heaven. I said that no one's going to get to heaven and say, hey, look at what I did.
It's all about what Jesus did. It says we're all sinners. We've all done wrong. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And because he died on the cross for your sins, you have now an opportunity to put your faith and trust in what he has done. It says you have to recognize that you're a sinner. And we gave him a track that was very self-explanatory that can lead someone to Christ or at least help them see their need and what it means to repent and cry out to God and accept Christ as their personal Savior, or at least whatever words you want to call it. I know some people give a hard time about certain words like that, but it's believing on Jesus Christ. He says, thank you. You gave me a lot to think about. He says, I really got to get back to work. And we had talked for 10 minutes, so I could understand why he had to get back. But it's this thought here. The tiller of the ground. And I believe Cain brought his best. I believe Cain brought what he thought God should accept. And that's what that man was saying. He says, I'm living a life that is the best I can, so I believe God should accept that when it comes to my form of payment for my sins. And that's what Cain is here. He brings, as a tiller of the ground, he brings the fruit of his labor, and he says, God, this is my best, but our best is not good enough. And that's what the lamb represents. And sometimes, and I think most people struggle with this thought of, hey, I'm not good enough to get to heaven. It's the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners and none of our righteousness is good enough. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And that's the picture that Cain is coming here, and Cain is saying, I've worked hard. I've done what I should. I've done what I think is best. Now I'm going to offer a sacrifice to God saying that he needs to accept. I think that's how people live in the world today when it comes to salvation. I've done what I could. I've done what I should. God's just going to have to deal with it. And you see here in the story, he didn't accept it. There are going to be people up in heaven. We remember those in the New Testament. And people up there that say things such as, you know, I cast out demons in your name. I did this in your name. I did this in your name. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Wasn't all the things I did good enough? And he said, no, it's not the way to heaven. The way to heaven, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this is a picture of you're not going to convince God to do things your way. You're not going to get to heaven on your own. This sacrifice, and that's what the shedding of blood represented. And I know there was other fruit sacrifices and other things like that in the law, but what was needed here is what the representation was with the way of Cain is, hey, I'm going to go to heaven the way I think is best. And the answer is, it's just not going to happen. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you because you come in your own strength, in your own way. Do you know Christ today? Has there been a time in your life when you said, hey, I know I'm a sinner. God convicted you of that sin to the point where you realize I cannot save myself. And I've turned to God and I've put my faith and trust in the work that he has done. And I know that my best is not enough. I know that my righteousness is nothing but filthy rags compared to his righteousness. And that he is never going, I'm not going to make it on my own. And that's what the sacrifice came. People's like, well, at least he tried. At least he wasn't like the other people in the world doing this. Well, there might not have been other people. At least not a lot of other people at this point in time in the world. So he knew exactly what God wanted. And he believed that God should accept him for what he thinks is right. Could you imagine if we lived that way? Could you imagine if there was a God out there that was in control of all things and he personally accepted everybody's viewpoint as the being truth? I mean, that's mind-blowing. You can say that you're a different gender. You can say, hey, I'm an animal. You can say, hey, I'm a rock. That's truth. That's truth. That's truth. It's not truth. And God will not accept it. He said, well, that's a stretch. It's God, for my faith cometh by hearing. And we he's given us his word. And we live in a day and time that people become angry because God will not accept what they think is right. Now, here's the challenge. We live in a day and time where Christians become angry because God will not accept their sacrifice because it's not right. It's what I think is best. It's what I think is right. It's what's normal to me. And the Bible says, hey, our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. That's why he's given us his word. That's why he's given us the Spirit. And I have had people look at me and say, I agree with a lot of that stuff, but I don't understand why this is wrong. It's the way of Cain. I think this is okay. And that's why I believe today there's a lot of people that are angry. There's a lot of Christians that are downcast. A lot of Christians that are frustrated today because they're not getting their way and things are not happening the way they think they should because of the fact that, why can't I just have it my way? Why can't it be like this? And they become, like it says here in the story, downcast, countenance fall. So hopefully you understand that the problem with the sacrifice was they did not do things God's way. And Cain's sacrifice is a representation of, hey, the flesh saying, my way should be good enough. Hopefully that's seen. At least that's what I see in it. And that's sometimes for believers too. My way's good enough. I don't have to follow that all the way. That's a little too much. That's a little too far. I can do it my own way. It's not really that big of a deal. God doesn't care. Well, you look at this, and sometimes there's people out there that say that they're Christians that say, God doesn't really care what I think or what I do or how I act. This story right here tells you, hey, Cain, he came and he offered a sacrifice. It was just a different type of sacrifice. If God was going to accept something, they would accept a sacrifice. At least Cain thought he was worthy of being a sacrifice. At least Cain thought he was worthy to offer some type of sacrifice. But it was doing it its own way. And we live in a day and time where people think, I can do it my way. God's going to be pleased with that. God's going to accept that. Some even feel like God doesn't have a choice. Whew. That's the way of Cain. They feel like God doesn't have a choice. You know what happens? God does have a choice. Look what it says here next. So the first thing I want you to think about is you're not getting heaven your own. It's doing things God's way. I know people may say, I don't think there's anything wrong with the way Cain did things. He had grown it. He had worked hard for it. In human reasonings, it was right. But when we bring an offering to God, if it's without faith, it's an abomination. If it's not done his way, it's not something that he's pleased with. In Isaiah, he talked about he's tired of all the offerings because of the way that they're given. An offering denied that men, the offering there denied that men were evil. They didn't need a savior. And God was not going to accept that. So next thing I want you to see is when we do things our own way, it opens the door for a greater sin. That's a long second point. I know that. And I know you might not write that all down, but if you're going to write something down, when we do things our own way, when we demand to have our own way, it opens the door for greater sin. You think about it. Cain sheds the blood of his brother instead of the blood of the lamb. He sheds the blood of his own brother than the blood of a lamb. That's how much his sin took him. He went from being downcast and angry with God that it caused him to slay his own brother. And the picture that gives here is that when we allow anger to affect us, sin lies at the door. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil, sin lies at the door. I believe that he's saying here when it says sin lieth at the door in verse number 7. One preacher put it this way, or one commentator, I believe that he was saying that sin, like a wild beast, is crouching at the door, waiting to pounce on him the moment he stepped out. Another preacher put it this way, now that anger is in thy heart, murder is at the door. Now that anger is at thy heart, murder is at the door. The way of sin is a downhill. The way of sin is downhill, and men go from bad to worse. Those who do not sacrifice well but are careless and remiss in their devotion to God expose themselves to the worst temptations, and perhaps the most scandalous sin lies at the door. Those who do not keep God's ordinance are in danger of committing all abominations. That's why he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The problem here is that he becomes angry, he becomes bitter, and because he doesn't deal with his bitterness, even though there is a loving God that comes to him. Look, if thou doest well, in verse number 7, shalt thou be accepted. There is an offer there for him to get right. He's saying, look, if here's the offer. You can be right. You don't have to have sin. You don't have to live in that sinful way. You can listen. You can obey. If thou doest well, but if thou doest not, you're opening yourself up to a world of sin, a world of hurt. And how do we apply that to our lives today? We have sin that we like. We have our pet sins. I mentioned in Sunday school class, two sins that many times Christians don't even acknowledge that their sin is worry and bitterness. It's because everybody worries, right? Everybody has a little bit of hurt feelings. Well, that worry and that bitterness, it sins lying at the door if you don't deal with it. It leaves you open to a greater temptation. Bible says if we regard iniquity in the heart, the Lord's not going to hear us. So it breaks our fellowship. And if our fellowship is broken, then how can we know what is right? And how can we know what is wrong? How can we know and walk with the Lord when we're having this sin that we allow to sit there and reign in our life? That's what God is saying to Cain. He's, look, you can be right. And that's the merciful God that comes to him and says, look, Cain, why are you angry? Cain, why has your countenance fallen? Cain, why are these things happening in your life right now? Think about it, Cain. All this frustration, all this anger, and all this bitterness is coming because you don't want to do what is right. And I think there's so many believers today that are angry and that are bitter and that are downcast. And God is saying, here's the blood. You can be right. You can do what's right. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Here, you can be right with God today, but this frustration that you have and this anger that you have and this bitterness that you have and this worry have, if you're willing to, you can be accepted. If you're willing, those sins can be forgotten from the east to the west. If you confess those sins, you can be clean today. You can get it right. But if you don't, you're opening up yourself for a world of mess. And we have seen that some Christians have just gone farther and farther and farther down, and their face is downcast, they're miserable, they've lost their joy, and you're saying, what is wrong with them? It's because they only want things done their way. And if I don't get things done my way, I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to become angry, I'm going to become bitter, and sin is lying at the door like that crouching wild beast just waiting for you not to get right. And when we say, Lord, not today, I don't want to get right, the devil or his minions or what demons, whatever, they're parting it up saying, yes, the door's still open. So when we confess it and we're clean and we say, I don't want to do it anymore, the devils may attack, but they don't have that opening that they have when you allow sin to sit there and fester and stay in your heart and stay in your life. And it opens up to something greater. It opens up to something great, stronger. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Bitterness is a horrible thing, but it causes people to do some really stupid things. And it hurts so many people. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. He says, look, be diligent. Don't fail the grace of God. Don't fail what God is offering. Don't fail his mercy. Don't fail his unmerited favor in your life. Don't let a root of bitterness come into your heart, because when it springs up, it troubles. Not only does it trouble some, it troubles many. He's like, well, only person I'm hurting is me. No. Cain's like, only person I'm hurting is me, as Abel's there bleeding. My sacrifice isn't that big deal. It's the way you hurt many. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. We have dealt with so many people out there today that is dealing with anger today, and they have never truly dealt with it. And God's coming to them and saying, why are you so angry? Think of some extremes in the Bible. Think about how Joseph's brothers became so bitter and so angry with their brother that they could not even talk to him peacefully. Well, that's not a big deal. I don't have to talk to people peacefully. I don't have to get along with people. I don't have to be nice to people. And where does it take him? It takes him to the point that they throw him in a pit. It takes him to the point that they sell him in slavery. It opens up the door. Jonah sees a great revival because of his anger to God, because he wanted things his own way. What happens? He gets angry because God sends revival. the city of Nineveh gets right with God. He said, well, how can he be? It's because he never dealt with that sin to begin with. Think about Saul, continued wasting his life, trying to kill David because of his pride and his jealousy. It led him to anger and led him to waste the opportunity he had to be the first king of that great nation. It's because if we don't deal with it, sin is lying at the door, and sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will make you pay more than you ever thought you would pay. It will keep you longer than you ever thought you would stay. Sin is dangerous, and Cain is here, and he's angry, and he's wroth, and his countenance has fallen because I got to have it my way. I can't believe God didn't let me have it my way. So why is thy countenance falling? It will change the way you look to others. You become unapproachable. You become something that is not a light, but instead something that people stay away from. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and malice. Wrath refers to the passion of anger. Person's wrath seems to be continually cycling through their relationships. They're edgy. They're dissatisfied. Clamor, this is a loud, noisy complaint. Some people seem to be always complaining about something. Nothing is ever right for them. They're never happy. But that is because something is always wrong with their spirit. That's why God says, let that bitterness be put away from you. Let that wrath be put away from you. Let that anger, that clamor. Evil speaking is talking about slander and detraction. The evil speaker never has a good comment. Often is negative. And the Bible says, get rid of that. There's something wrong in your spirit. There's something bad going on here. Deal with it. He said, well, it's not hurting anybody. It does. Sin is lying at the door and it's pouncing on you. It's changing you. It's changing your way you look at things. Your countenance is falling. People are miserable. You're miserable. Get it right. He says, if you're willing to do well, you can get it right. You can do right. If not, that sin will continue to haunt you and grow and grow and grow. It's as if something is waiting to attack you. So the third thing I want you to think about, what is it that God expects? I guess it's as simple as obedience. What does God want us to do? He wants us to be obedient. First, we see God coming to Cain. Once again, this is pure grace. He could have said, forget you. Instead, I think about how merciful and patient God is with me. How many times the same thing I struggle with, he continues to convict my heart, continues to offer forgiveness. He reminds him, if you would be obedient, you would be accepted. This is what God wants. This is what God expects. He expects your obedience. Deuteronomy, this famous verse is, before I set you this day, a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way that which I commanded you this day to go after other gods, which you have not known. This is your choice. He's coming to Cain. Obey or be cursed. Obey or your life is going to be miserable. Obey or you're not going to have the blessings of God. Obey or you're going to be dealing with sin forever that's going to keep on growing and growing in this downcast. And you see that it's a blessing or curse. He says it in Deuteronomy. We want the blessing of God. Be sorrowful, repent. Cain didn't get it. Obviously, Cain didn't get it. God comes to him, he convicts his heart and says, look, Cain, what you did, it's not that, it's a sin, but you can get it right. He doesn't minimize it. He says, why are you angry? Why are you cast down? You did something wrong. Let's get it right. Let's get it dealt with. If you don't deal with it, something worse is going to happen. And when we're coming here today, he says to him, and as us as believers, you've done something. Get it right. Because if you don't get it right, something worse is going to happen. God wants you to be obedient. And you see, it takes a downward spiral. God comes, he convicts their heart, he blows it off. Psh, forget that. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. Psh. And I'm good. I'm good. God's just going to take me for what I am. And then the greater sin happens. And then you see the curse. But you also see at the end what else happens. He refuses to get right. We don't see a man that's humbled. We don't see a man that says, God, what I did was wrong. My brother's over there in the ground. He's bleeding. He's dead. I killed him. We don't see any of that. Instead, he complains about his punishment. And I see people today, I don't know why all these things are happening to me. Woe is me and woe is that. God's just been mean to me. And we talk about difficult times. And if it's because of our own sin and God is chastising us to try to get us right, we should be thankful for that. And if it's somebody else's sin, there's a different way of developing it. I understand that. And there's a different way of responding to that. But this was because of Cain's sin. And it's something he still refuses to get right. And he says in verse 13, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He just killed his brother. And he's saying, look, God, you're being too mean to me. What has he gotten? He's never gotten the picture yet. I did something wrong, and I'm not willing to get it right. He still doesn't admit, God, you know what? I should have done that sacrifice like you said. God, you were right. The sin is lying at the door, and it has consumed me. And because of that, instead of shedding the blood of an animal, I'm willing to shed the blood of my own brother. God, you were right. You gave me encouragement. You gave me instruction. You gave me correction. And I just blew you off, God. I'm sorry. Whatever punishment you give me, I'm willing to take. An unrepentant person doesn't think that way very often. And that's where people get in their lives when they're not willing to deal with the sin that was way back here. And it's grown and grown and grown. It's not that big of a deal. Nothing wrong with it. God's just going to have to accept it. It's just who I am. The God who created you can help you with whatever. And just people saying it's just who I am is ridiculous. Because God can help you become you became a new creature. Now, obviously, we're made certain ways. We have certain physical attributes. I get all that. But people use that as an excuse because they have not because they ask not. He was not able to do many mighty works amongst them because of their unbelief. And it's the sin that's in our heart sometimes. So are you downcast today? Are you someone who says, I can't believe that God's not okay with this? We have a wrong vision of God. We have a wrong picture of who God is. I see the story and it helps me understand, you know, God deserves to have things done his way. Not only does he deserve it, that's all he's going to accept. And when I choose to do things my own way, like the verse in Proverbs, the talks about, there it is, 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, man thinks my way's right, my way's right, my way's right, and they're not listening to the Lord. It's opening up that window. His angry heart became a murderous heart. Is there something in your life that you just don't want to do God's way? Is there something that we're not willing to say, I'm willing to submit to this? I should not be doing this. You're leaving yourself open. Let the Heavenly Father come to you and just present this, and just like he did with Cain. Okay, so why are you angry? Why are you cast down all the time? Why are you so bitter? If you do what's right, things are going to be fine. You're going to be forgiven. I'm going to be able to use you. If you choose not to do what's right, that sin that you're struggling with, it's going to grow. The devil's waiting to pounce on you. It lieth at the door. It's going to get worse and worse. Deal with the sin. And then I've met many a Christian today that are angry and that are bitter, mostly outside church, but some in church, that are just refusing to deal with whatever it is that their sin is, and they don't want to be repentant. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't say anything wrong. I didn't vote. Blah, blah, blah. And it's, really? Can you not see this? And it's because, like Cain, hey, my punishment's too great. It's not I'm sorrowful for what I did. It's just wrong. Let's ask God to help us. Let's ask God to reveal unto us those things we struggle with, because that sin is going to grow and grow and grow. Cain, I'm going to do it my way. You're not getting to God that way. Why is Cain so angry? He's angry with God because he could not get his way. That little sin grows into be something that becomes murderous and a very unrepentant heart. Let God say to you today, if thou doest well, if you get it right, everything's going to be okay. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us. Thank you for the story. Thank you for the thought there. Lord, I want to be right with you. I've seen it happen in my own life, that if I'm not reading my Bible and praying, it
I'm quick to be short-tempered, not patient, not kind. If I allow a little bit of sin into my heart and life, it magnifies. Lord, help us not to mess around with sin. Help us come to the realization that sin is something that we cannot control and that we need your help, and it is a big deal. Even if it's just the wrong sacrifice, we need to do those things that please the Lord. God, also, please help. If there's someone in this room who thinks that their good works is going to be good enough and that you're going to accept that someday, that they will see and understand there's only one way to heaven, and they will get that right today. God, I pray you help us. Save that sinner, Lord, that's close to hell. Also, Lord, help that believer that's struggling with doing things your way. In Jesus' name, amen.